it's an Irish holiday soon, and we're celebrating with food. We're celebrating because we're here. My maiden name is Skelly. Got a little Irish in me. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I am a bit touched in a tender way by our attendance. So thank you for choosing to be here. And honestly, we love you. You know, in that place where we say we honor all paths to God, I really want to empower you to make good choices for your own life. And if you need to stay home, as some people are hibernating and staying home and following advice in a way that's best for them, we just want to support all of each other. We've never done this before. Right? We've never done this before. And I love that I feel like I've been given this glorious opportunity to witness us doing it. I guess that's what I want to say. So we got principal, we got a lot to celebrate, a lot to talk about, a lot going on. We are going to be making some changes. Just so you know, I pushed Cheryl really hard to get everything ready for the selling tickets today for the event, and we are going to postpone the event. I want the event. I'm not asking for any peanut gallery comments. I'm speaking with great authority here. I want our event to be successful, and as much as I know we need to be doing stuff like that, I want it to be successful in every way. So we're postponing it. I predict that all of this is going to blow over, and we're going to look at a date in May. We'll let you know, and I'll tell you how I came to the conclusion that that was my decision. It was at the grocery store when I realized that we might not be able to get all the fun food we wanted. So that we should not have to feel like there's any scarcity in preparing a great, glorious event with lots of food. So I have a fun message, and I can't wait to share it with you. And meanwhile, I would like to call up Reverend Clyde and also President Ed. If you would just join me up here for a minute, because we have a little matter of business, of joyous, speaking of joyous celebration. So somebody wake up the lady that's doing the high watch back there. So we're going to be talking about you, Miss Kay Fontana.
Yeah, Kay, we'd like for you to come up front, if you would, please.
So, Sue Witter, jump right into the consciousness. Pick it up from there.
So, Kay has been on the board. I'm going to turn it over to Ed. But so Ed's going to make a couple of announcements, and then we are going to sing our song of gratitude for Kay. And we'll all talk about that in just a second.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing, Kay? Good. This is your first month not being on the board meeting today, so we're going to miss you. And I want to thank you on behalf of the entire board and for all of us to thank Kay for being on the board. How many years?
Four.
4 years she's been on the board. She served as our secretary. She served as a trustee. And you've done an amazing job. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all you do, all you've done, and all you will do in the future for us. Thank you so much.
So now, like, if you'd all rise, inside the bulletin on the bottom left-hand side, there's our song that we're singing. It's the grateful song. It's fairly simple. If you'd like to put your hands up like this and send loving energy to Kay, that would be absolutely wonderful.
So you just receive.
You are the heart. You are the hands. You are the voice of spirit on earth. And who you are and all you do is a blessing to the world. You are the heart, you are the hands, you are the voice of spirit on earth. And who you are and all you do is a blessing to the world, is a blessing to the world.
There you are. You're welcome. Oh, you always smell so good, too. I'll miss those hugs. So we have presented Kay with a certificate of appreciation, and what a joy the 4 years of having Kay on the board have been. And also, she ain't going anywhere, because she just slipped into another really important position that she now has free time to participate in. So that's how we work around here as much as we can. So I have a message to deliver. And it's so interesting because I did all the talk titles like last summer. And I've been really looking forward to this particular talk without knowing that it would have, that it would be impacted by what's going on in the world. I think that's true every Sunday. You know, I don't think there's any accident as to how the synchronicity of things come together, but this talk is so fun because here's what happened. I was reading in my new most favorite Ernest Holmes book, at least for a while, and that book is A New Design for Living. Such a great book. It's like these essays that have been compiled and published and re-released in recent last couple of years. And there's a chapter or a subheading that's called The Great Explosion. And so that really intrigued me, and I read, and I was like, what is he talking about? What great explosion? And what he's talking about is that if you look historically at the spread of millions of years of the existence of humanity, that something happened way back when where suddenly there was this big change. And so Dr. Holmes, as a philosopher, as a spiritual seeker and a philosopher, and filled with wisdom and smart and educated in personal ways, he comes to this conclusion that there had to be a great explosion because humankind no longer needed that primal brain that just merely protected us. So that when people began to settle and we moved out of the hunters and the gatherers phase into that next era, which would have been people settling down and staying in one place and having this agriculture and learning how to live in community together in a different way, that it now created a greater sense of safety. It was as though they had overcome their fears and all the ways, those survival instincts that were so greatly needed in those early days, but that now people had time to think. And so his theory is that we begin to think creatively. So I want to read you the quote that comes right out of the book, and this so you can see how it inspired me. He said, "One of the most amazing developments of humankind into their present physical form occurred in the early stages of existence. In terms of geological time, there was a sudden change in the physical structure and the general appearance of our physical form." Think about it. You know, they started finding, if you look at paleontology and physical anthropology, we see that something drastically changed in the shape of the human skull. And so that's what he's referring to. "It was the beginning of what was to be. The human brain became an elaborate instrument that was capable of being a channel for creative thought." Ooh, ooh, now. That brings me to something that I didn't know I would be talking about creativity today, but that's sort of the direction that as I was building the talk this week and the world was going kind of crazy, I saw that there's this idea of creativity that's important. So when we didn't have to fend off the woolly mammoth and the the saber-tooth, yes, thank you, the saber-tooth tiger, when we didn't need to do that anymore, we had space to think creatively. But I love how he says we became a channel for that creative thought to begin to express through us. So now there's this great change that's moving through life. Holmes went on to say, and this is important, "The pattern already existed. But because of and through infinite changes and variations, a fuller and a more perfect expression of it occurred." I think we're living in a time, again, of a great explosion of thought. I think that as we look at this example and the way Dr. Holmes pondered on such ideas, he's saying that we are freed. At some point, we become freed from those instinctive limitations of the physical body. And I want to say that's being freed of fear. Creative thought, we teach this. We have always taught this, that your thoughts matter and that we can choose our thoughts, and that when we tap into that way that something divine is always looking to creatively express through us, now we're talking about tapping into the divine thoughts. So we're living now in the 21st century, and it looks and it feels as though we're living and moving and changing and having our being in the divine all at the same time. But it also appears that we are being reshaped. And I'm not saying because of the current news in the last few months. I'm saying this because of the patterns that have been revealing themselves through us as we look out at what's going on in the world. There seems to be some great global change that's unfolding. And we talk about that a lot because our teaching equips us with spiritual principles so that we can move through whatever we need to move through.
Amen.
Absolutely. So we still have some of those primitive reflexes or that urge to defend ourselves or protect ourselves. But we also now have great skills. We have great information that can take us into feeling more competent in moving through our day and managing our own lives. So I think that I'm probably the median age of our population here in this community. And I know that in my life, I can look back at my life in the last 20, 30, 40 years, and I can see that great things have changed in positive ways. You can make a long list of all the things that have changed in the world that you're not happy with, and you can argue to prove that those things are true. And I just want to point out that this is the way we argue for our limitations. Let's argue instead for what's possible. And so if we look at the last 20 or 30 or 40 years, what I believe I witness is that we have developed a more compassionate approach to personal growth. We have developed a more compassionate approach to personal growth. As we have begun to be willing to look at the enhancement of our own self-esteem, our own value, our worth on this planet, we become kinder with each other. And maybe, I'm not sure which way it directs. What I think is it's just we're all connected, and that's the whole point. And so we can see, if I look at some of the themes, and I've just selected a few primary themes that we can all relate to, we now have a whole a world of understanding around emotional intelligence. If you don't have that understanding yet, get a book, read an article, Google it, because it's really a lovely way of becoming accountable and self-responsible. And I love that now in my relationship with the leaders in this community, we have taken that the next step to talk about spiritual intelligence and in terms of spiritual maturity as well. So we look at things like emotional intelligence. We are willing to look at things like the gifts of our imperfections. Wow, that is a great one. We are willing to, we're not willing, we all seem to have some sort of an urge, whether or not you're leading a spiritual life or connected to any kind of spiritual tradition, we seem to be moving in the direction of finding meaningful and purposeful lives. And so I like that idea of the purpose-driven life. So notice these are all book titles. These are all book titles, and I could give you a long, long list of many, many more, but what I'm wanting you to see is that there's a trend here that has made us open to and willing to talk about things such as this. Now, in this community, in the history of this teaching, we have looked at these topics long before it was, long before they were trending. And I would add to that list of book titles, Dr. Holmes, A New Design for Living. A New Design for Living. In this book, he is talking to us about becoming the architect of our own lives. He is suggesting to us that we are the scientists working in the laboratory of our own life. So what would you like to create? These are really good topics for us to be exploring, because when we're looking at these types of possibilities, what we see is that there is an explosion, another great explosion, and it is an explosion of what's possible in the way that there seems to be almost no, we begin to understand the meaning of infinite. There seems to be almost no limit whatsoever to what's possible, because that's what's real. So now, if I take a step back and tell you what I was really thinking back in July that I thought I was going to be talking about today, it was that Holmes delineates this idea of the great explosion, you know, when the brains went bonkers and started thinking creatively. And I was thinking at that time that maybe that is how we could make peace with some of the changes that are happening that we're not as comfortable with, and I'll just name the, no, don't take any offense, but the millennial generation. So I know, we like to pick on the millennials. We like to pick on the millennials. And so what I want to do is tell you that I think there are some things we want to notice. If we look at what's coming out of the studies in the world of behavioral science, you know, what kind of research is coming in that from that direction, you know what we know about the millennials? We know that they are the first generation that they have never lived on the planet without a computer or a device. Imagine that. They do not relate to not having a device with them and immediate communication in dozens of ways at all times. But here's what I want to say that we have overlooked, and this is not my idea, I actually read it somewhere, that the other thing they have done is they have given us the gift of emojis. Do you know what emojis are? It looks like many of you do know what an emoji is. So the emoji is the little happy face. It's a little the little high five sign or the thumbs up. That's the one I get all the time. People send me. It's like, what do you think? Thumbs up, right? And we've made a whole language out of these cute little faces, or even sad faces, right? Or even angry faces. And so we have this whole new world that's the emoji world. And the thing is, here's a piece I want you to really think about. Don't reject this idea. But in the world of behavioral science, the experts are saying that this is the first time a generation has brought emotion into their mode of communication. Okay? So we can have judgments about it. We do. And there's something more going on. Can we also have compassion and find a way to love them? So I said, I was at the conference, you know, a few weeks ago in Denver, and I said to one of our ministers, I said, oh, I'm so excited. I'll be giving this talk in a couple of weeks, and I have this great theory that we're in, that the brain is now doing another great thing. And the minister said to me, yeah, but I think it's contracting. You know, growth comes in spurts, expansion and contraction. But I would say to you that we do contract as we get ready to open in a greater way. And so we can see it as an element of contraction, because what it looks like to me is that we are expecting more from that generation than we think we're seeing. But what I want to say is there's a great explosion, and I don't even think they know what's coming from it and through them as we continue to move through all of this. I checked in with all of my kids this week just to see where they were and how their children, how my grandchildren are dealing with the heaviness of the news. And so they're sad because Disneyland got closed, and so my granddaughter here in Peoria is missing her senior trip to Disneyland, and that won't be replicated, right? That's just gone. So there's that stuff going on. But you know what? Their business as usual. They're doing their business as usual. And I got off the phone after I talked to the last of my kids, and I said to my husband, we did good. They're all thinking just the way I'm thinking, except they don't have the spiritual commitment that I do. And they seem to, by appearances, they seem to be maneuvering through their own lives with perhaps just a bit of a more a higher grade of optimism than other people. And I'm proud to say that none of them are panic buying. They laughed, and like the rest of us, they're feeling a little frustrated that it's hard to shop now. So when we look at the way the human brain continues to change, when we look at the way humanity continues to evolve as greater and greater wisdom is emerging on the planet, we begin to see that what looks like discord is really the wholeness of life trying to express in a greater way. Wholeness is always trying to express at greater and greater levels. And that's just the nature of life. That's why we who study things like religious science and spiritual philosophies, that's where we have a real blessing, because we now we have stretched our minds to be open to, this is just change. And sometimes things break apart so that they can come together in a better way. So we're going to stand in that, and we're going to know, Holmes also said, going back to that initial series of quotes, Holmes said, when we meet an idea that we don't like, our physical being gets whipped up to engage in combat. So, you know, so let's rest in that. Let's just know that that happens. Sometimes when you're facing an idea you don't like, we get whipped up and ready for combat because that's that part of that primitive stuff that's still there. And I want to say that I would like us not to do battle mentally. You know, we aren't grounded if we're wobbling all over the place in fear and even, you know, I mean, because what fears me is the other people's fear. You know, and it saddens me that I'm powerless to rescue you from your fear, right? But the thing is, it's a gift that we get to walk through, and now, more than usual, we are being invited to practice what we learn here, to apply these skills in our life so that it's okay to be scared, it's okay to be sad, it's even okay to be angry, but that we replace any feelings we don't want with the opposite. You fill in, how did Mark just read it in the reading. You know, you take that thought that you don't want, and then you fill yourself with the opposite thought so that we're replenishing. It's that drop of water, a drop of water at a time. And right now we need to be really consistent in dropping in clean water so that we don't whip ourselves into combat in ways that are absolutely not necessary. So we're here to learn how to manage our thought. We're here to remember that if we could change our thinking, we do change our lives when we change our thinking. And that every thought leads us to a potentially higher thought and therefore greater possibilities of experience in life. You know, beauty isn't gone right now. Beauty is not gone right now. It is not missing. It is not limited in any way. And if you didn't see how gorgeous it was when you were driving to church out there in the world, you better notice it when you leave. I'm putting my request out there to you. I'm actually demanding of you. See something beautiful. Because when you do, you change yourself. So I went back to Mark Nepo, my favorite poet, who's living and writing books and poetry for me, and my friends that gift me with the Mark Nepo books, because I so love poetry and enjoy it. And I realize, man, that's what I need in my life right now. I need something poetic. So I opened Mark Nepo, and I was in the middle of sort of working on the talk during the week, and I found this quote. So Mark Nepo said, "We can continue to gather and sort enormous amounts of information." Remember, this has nothing to do with what's going on in the news right now. "We may continue to gather and sort enormous amounts of information, but this is not the same as releasing that life force within us by fitting things together." You know what he's saying? When we look for the patterns of perfection in life and we take those bits of information and fit them together and see that there is something natural and inherent in the way all of the universe runs, where things are being always pulled together in that wholeness and that the beauty is always there, then when we have that realization, when you recognize beauty, then your life force is released, that essence of beauty, that vibration, that energetic of goodness and gorgeousness is released out into the planet. We need that right now. We need that right now. So we want to build ideas. We want to gather information that will support our well-being, right? So be careful while you're looking for facts and you're trying to stay current in what's going on. Just try not to scare yourself. You know, use my old formula. If you watch 5 minutes of news, watch 5 minutes of something good. You know, you gotta YouTube some great spiritual thinker. Watch our live stream that Julie's been putting up there, and we can watch it and we can rewatch it and find ways to connect where we're going to be not arguing for those limiting beliefs, but having better information and treating ourselves to things that we need to treat ourselves to. So I think the point is, can we gather information that makes us feel more alive? Don't we want that right now? Right? So if we gather information that helps us to feel more alive, then you'll be more alive. And the more alive we are, the healthier we are, the better your immune system is. And it just works in this great positive way. There's a tribe of indigenous peoples in Indonesia. And, you know, I have an affinity for the Indonesian islands. And the Asaro tribe in Indonesia has a saying I want to share with you. "Knowledge is only a rumor until it lives in a muscle." Knowledge is only a rumor until it lives in a muscle, until it comes alive in you. And so we want to decide what knowledge we are making alive within us right now. What beliefs do you choose to embody? I went to the grocery store on Friday, and everything was going really well till I walked down the paper aisle is a given, right? But then, you know, somebody said to me, was it you, Elsa? Somebody said, I haven't been to the market. And I said, don't go. Just don't go. Give somebody your list. Just don't go. And here's why. When I went to get my laundry detergent, because I need laundry detergent to wash my clothes, I couldn't find any. It was like, what? Why? Why? And so I noticed I got a little angry. And I had been doing a good job. I'm kind of like at the end of my up and down the aisles, and I'm kind of angry. So first the paper aisle, I knew that there would be nothing there, but it made me sad because there were boxes in the middle of the aisles, like Bounty boxes that were stripped empty. And I had this vision of, well, I'm glad I didn't see that when the guy dropped the box and people dived in, right? I'm glad I don't have that memory stuck in here. But it made me kind of sad. And then I go around to get the laundry detergent. Then I got mad. Like, why can't I just do my laundry? And then I noticed that I was putting judgments out all over the place. And I went, okay, start over. Go back to where you started and just begin again. And then I started looking at the people. See, for me, that melts my heart every time. Make eye contact with somebody. Make eye contact with anybody. And then if you smile, they almost can't help but smile back, and both of you feel better. Right? So I went back and I actually did a couple aisle walks just to look at people, just to observe people and go, God bless you. Look at you out here doing this same thing that none of us really want to be doing right now. Right? And not because there's all of us that we're not afraid of the germs. You know, it's having to deal with what's going on in the mainstream consciousness of humanity right now. I would say this is what is constricting us, and that next great explosion needs to be when we all just start going, no, it doesn't have to be this way. And it can be that way. Those aisles can be naked, and I can still be happy, and so can you. All right, so I'm saying let's look at this idea of using beauty and using that connection with even strangers, appreciating what you can appreciate, when you see people just doing their thing, and everybody's trying to do the same thing, right? We're all in this together. Let's be conscious of that. Let's also be aware of something that Holmes talked about that we don't speak very much about, but there's also a whole chapter on race consciousness. Holmes calls it subjective thought. And what he speaks to is that it's like a cloud, is the way I visualize it in my mind, of the general thought going on in the human population. So that's, remember I always used to say, I haven't said it in a while, I'm going to say it right now. When you choose, you know, when I stop and I pray in the morning, it causes me to have an elevated perspective of life. I rise in my own consciousness. And when I rise in my consciousness, because I have used affirmative prayer in my life and I am equipped to walk through my day with affirmations as I need them, then I have risen. I have caused myself to rise, and I am at least 51% above the general public. Right? And that's where that stuff hovers. It's when we're not conscious. Remember, Jung called it the collective unconscious. And I'm saying, let's be conscious. You know, let's choose to be awake, and let's not pretend something's not going on, but doggone it, let's have some fun, and let's experience beauty, and let's practice creativity. We have to practice creativity. I'm 100% convinced of this. This just came through this morning. I am 100% convinced we have to practice creativity. Because when we are being creative, that God-given way in which we are the image and likeness of God, we are created to be creative individuals. When we are being creative, we do not feel powerless. So this is the time to dig out those water paints or your oil paints and or your crayons or your crafty things, or write something creative, or go to your workbench and pound out something creative. Use that great way we have, this gorgeous, expanded, enlarged mind filled with creative possibilities. Use that in some way. Express yourself creatively, and you will not feel powerless. You will not feel like you have to be armed for going out into the world or living through the next few weeks, whatever it is. You won't get as whipped up to engage in combat, as Holmes said. So let's think ourselves into wellness. Let's choose thoughts that stimulate positive responses, not only in the way that we show up in life, but positive responses in our own physical beings. Let's just do that. That's easy. We can look for ways to be centered and solid and certain about spiritual truths that we know are the truths that comfort us. Let's be able to pull up and recall and recite statements like, there is one mind. It is the mind of God. That mind is perfect, and that mind is my mind now. Yeah? There is a power in the and a presence in the universe that's greater than I am, and I can use it. It's a power for good, and I can use it. Right? We're going to change our thinking. We're going to change our lives. We're going to stand in what is solid and what is true so that we can move through our experiences in a way that absolutely works for us. I want to tell you one more thing. I walked through the building this week, and Reverend Cheryl was having her conversations in consciousness group. And I always feel kind of intrusive when I have to walk through the building and they're there, but it's also really fun for me because I love that group. I'd love to sit in that group every week if I could. And I got to my office, and right when I turned the corner to the little hook going into the office, I heard, I don't know who said it, but somebody said, yes, but, something like this. Yes, but you know, they're saying that, and then Reverend Cheryl, in that way, she interrupts you right away. Reverend Cheryl said, wait, hold on. Who said? And then the person started to answer, and then she said something like, the question is, what do you say? Amen. Yeah? Thank you for that, Reverend Cheryl. The question is, yes, they are saying all sorts of things, and we are witnessing all sorts of things, but what do you say, right? Where is your power? What do you say, and how does it sound different when you stand in the center of your well-being, and you know you're standing in the center of your well-being, you're grounded, you're prayed up? Then how does the world look, and what do you say, and what are we telling ourselves? So let's just notice that we have these tools, we have these skills. We have a board meeting after the message this morning, or after we eat. We're going to eat together, but we're going to be looking at ways of doing more of the using technology, and keeping us connected and finding ways to interact with each other. So I have I'll give you more information about that as it unfolds. But I have my parting words for you this morning are useful. And so at the last minute, I decided to type out a prescription from Reverend Karen. So you know how the physician would say, get plenty of rest and drink lots of water, drink plenty of fluids. So I'm going to say instead, rest in God and be fluid by drinking in lots of beauty and lots of joy. And then the third step is to take consistent doses of gratitude with intermittent experiences of creativity. And I typed it out, and I helped to stuff it in your bulletin so you can take those three things home. It is your prescription for well-being, personally written to you from your minister. So get plenty of rest, rest in God's love, drink lots of beauty and joy, and take consistent doses of gratitude with intermittent experiences of creativity, because we got this, because we know who our source is. We know who our source is. So let's just hold our heads up high and walk in glory. And if you get afraid, call a friend. Call a friend. This might be a time where we want to start calling friends. This would be a great time to have a prayer partner where you pick up the phone maybe every morning and you limit it to 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long experience. And you pray together. Doesn't have to be a practitioner. Everybody can pray, right? Get a copy. I wrote a prayer for us, and I published it last week. I'll make sure we have more copies out in the on the prayer altar and out at home space. And I think we should probably pray some of Mark's treatment that they wrote in class. What would you like to add, Mark?
Let's call Dorothy. It's her birthday.
Oh, okay. So when we get over to Papke Hall, let's make a group birthday call. That's a good idea. See, if we celebrate together, and we look for those opportunities to celebrate, We will be stirring that joy, and that's what's going to settle in our muscles, in the muscles of our being. That's what we'll embody, is that beauty, that joy, that celebration. All right, so that's all I have to say, but I would like to take this opportunity to anchor all of this in the words of prayer. So if the practitioners and the ministers would just surround the room, we're going to pray right now. Just take a nice deep breath. Gorgeous inhale, relaxed. Wonderful exhale. Feeling our feet on the ground and becoming aware of how perfectly we are supported in this very moment. Everything in the universe is for us. Every cell and molecule of our being is equipped with the perfection of the divine DNA. And so we just breathe. So grateful to be right here, right now, in this sacred space. I feel the love of God at the core of my being. And I know it is this immense vibration of life itself. It is evidence of the movement of life, the activity of spirit within. It is the infinite wisdom of all the universe. Right where we are, God is. Oh, and so in this recognition, we are unified with that one mind, knowing that any idea we have is greatly magnified and enhanced as we unify our mind with the divine mind. That there is no limit, there is no problem to solve, there is nothing to heal, there is only wholeness to be revealed. And so we allow ourselves to be that vessel. We allow ourselves to let that love of God to channel through us and to express into this planet. In this world where that love is needed and desired and is the healing agent of all that ails us or any appearances that we think we might be experiencing. I stand in this love of God and know that as we are anchored, as we allow ourselves to feel that perfect grounding and oneness with life, that we are indeed conduits for that life to be expressed louder and brighter and more beautiful than ever before, rippling out in every direction so that there is more light and more love on this planet. I feel the love of God, and I know that it is the most powerful force in the universe. And we align ourselves to that perfection right now. And so as we ready ourselves to move through this week with uncertainties, we know that even not knowing does not change what we do know. And so here we stand in this truth, in this wisdom, in this recognition of that power and that presence that is indeed greater than we are. And I speak a word of blessing on all those who have been tangled in the fear, that have become a part of that which they don't understand. And I bless each person in this community and at the sound of my voice that we too can rectify any sense of imbalance as we come again to our very own center. As we stand in our very own truth, because it is the truth of all the universe, that there is a perfect order and that it is expressing perfectly even now. And so I rejoice in our ability to see the beauty, to recognize the love of God in the simple exchange of smiles, to know that our kindness matters now. And to remember that everything we need to maintain health in our physical beings is already given, that we are guided and directed and supported by everything good in this universe. And as that is true for us, it is true for all of our loved ones as well, and for every living being. So I am grateful. I'm so grateful that we can pause in our week, that we can still join in the sanctuary, that we can see the humor in elbow bumping and loving each other from what appears to be a distance, but is not, because we are absolutely connected. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for this and for so much more. I am immensely grateful. Gently, we allow ourselves to express the creative divinity of our being. And in that truth, I release the words of this prayer into that divine law, knowing it is already done. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.